Good morning. Our passage today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is the word of God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Calvin. Well, little boy had a part in a school play, and he just had one line that he practiced over and over again. It is I, be not afraid. Well, the time finally came. He got up on the stage and he looked at the crowd, and with big eyes, he said, it's me and I'm scared. Well, this morning we will consider the presence of discouragement and fear in our lives. And in varying degrees, we are all challenged by these emotions, just as that young boy was. So a woman by the name of Gladys Dunn was visiting a church for the first time. And after the sermon was finally over, while the congregation was greeting one another, she walked up to a guy, extended her hand and said, hi, I'm Gladys Dunn. And the old fellow looked at her and said, yeah, I'm glad he's done too. I hope it's going to go a lot better than that here today. We're continuing in 2 Corinthians today. We will consider how the gospel of Jesus Christ informs our suffering as believers. The Apostle Paul will relate how triumph is achieved in the midst of struggles as we walk day by day with our Lord. I have absolutely no doubt that there are some of you here today who battle discouragement. Things are hard. Life is tough. Well, you've come to the right place. I believe God has a word for you today that I pray will be very encouraging. I'm sure that there's no one here this morning who wants to lose heart. I don't think there's anyone here who came saying, I sure hope we sing some songs and hear a sermon that bums me out. I really want to be discouraged by what Dan has to say today. I'm sure that not one of you wants to have your zest for living knocked out of you. Instead, everybody wants inner renewal. We all want feelings of strength and newness, of hope and vitality, of courage and zest for life. We all desire that power of renewal. Throughout 2 Corinthians, Paul describes the cost and the glory of Christian ministry. Paul points out that God sends trials not to impair us, but to improve us. So let's pray before we get to it. Would you join me? Oh, Father, we love you. We acknowledge you this morning as the one true and living God. Father, we ask you to clear the fog of our weekly cares and to help us to see you more clearly and worship and love you more dearly this morning. God, we come as a family that hurts. Help us to mourn with those who mourn. We ask you to heal bodies, to restore relationships, to revive marriages, to provide for needs. We pray for many who have been affected by fires around our state and nation. Lord, you said that if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven and would forgive their sins and heal their land. Oh God, we plead with you to heal our land. Jesus, would you intercede for us, as it says in Romans 8, that you do so with groans that even words cannot express. We pause now to pray for the lost. Would you pray silently with me for a moment for those you know and love who need the Lord Jesus as Savior? Well, Father, many people were included this last minute, and you know each one. May today be a day of salvation for some. Now, Holy Spirit, may I be diminished, and God, may you be exalted, and may you speak to our hearts by teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us in righteousness for the sake of the kingdom. We ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior and greatest treasure, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. There's a blue insert in your bulletin. If you'd like to pull that out, you can follow along with us today. Have you ever opened up a box or a container and been totally surprised by the contents? Well, our passage today is entitled Hidden Treasure, and it speaks of just that kind of situation. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 4. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, it will also be on the overhead, and and it's in your insert as well. We're going to start with verse 7, which says this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us." Some versions of the Bible use the term earthen vessels. Some use the term clay pots. The English Standard Version is translated jars of clay. So what are jars of clay? This was a common metaphor in the ancient world used for human weakness. We are weak vessels like jars of clay that are frail and easily broken. Amazingly, the God of this universe chose to deposit the priceless truth of Christ and his gospel into common and ordinary, unimpressive human vessels like you and me. These clay pots referred to here were cheap, easily replaceable storage containers, most often used for handling garbage and human waste. This term means literally a hollow instrument or a tool. Let me ask this question to give an analogy. Where is a pearl found? Well, a pearl is found in an ugly oyster shell. The container does not always reflect the value of its contents. You can certainly not always judge a book by its cover. Another analogy could be this. You have a beautiful silver mug, and it contains sour milk. Also on the same table is a common brown earthenware jar, and it contains Southern-style sweet iced tea. Which would you prefer? Now, it should be pointed out that a clay pot is used to serve. When Paul refers to us as jars of clay, he's speaking to us and about us as servants of Christ. Now, what is a treasure that is hidden in these jars of clay? Well, it is a reference back to the previous verse, 6. It is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ as the content of the gospel. This treasure is the incalc- incalculable riches of the gospel of Christ. If we take a look at some of the people that God used in the Bible, we might be surprised. Abraham was guilty of duplicity, yet he became a man of faith and the friend of God. Moses stuttered and had a quick temper, yet he was the man chosen to lead the nation of Israel, commune with God, and receive God's law. David was guilty of adultery, conspiracy, and murder, but he repented and became a man after God's own heart. There are many others in the Old Testament, but let me mention just a couple in the New Testament. There's Peter, who was another jar of clay. He was the leader and the spokesman for the 12 apostles who had denied his Lord with oaths and curses 3 times. The author of this passage, Paul, was a persecutor of Christians and yet was shown God's mercy and that the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. So what do all of these examples portray? What does this show? Our first point from our text this morning is this. It shows that the power belongs to God. God is our strength. God empowers us. Such great treasure in such weak vessels. Listen to how Paul describes Christians in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 29. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Astonishingly, God uses us foolish, weak jars of clay so that none of us can boast in any way. We are nothing but his tool. But that is how God works. Remember, he sent his one and only son into this world as a human baby. Is there hidden treasure in your jar of clay today? Are you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Are people discovering a hidden treasure in you? Those who follow Christ, put their faith in the gospel, and put their faith in the gospel are promised trials and tribulation. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 15:10. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Jesus also said in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, I promised you some encouragement at the outset today, and you may be wondering, why does it all seem so depressing up to this point? Well, there's some light at the end of the tunnel. Listen as we read verses 8 through 10. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Friends, there's no getting around the fact that there is trouble in this life. There may even be times when we feel like we are at our wits' end, but we're never at our hope's end. We may be persecuted by people, but we are never abandoned by God. These verses give the paradox of living as a believer in Christ in this present age. Paul says he has been afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. He was afflicted, meaning he faced many troubles and difficulties. He was perplexed, meaning he often had no idea what to do, unable to figure things out. Have you been there? Can you relate to that these days? Paul was persecuted, meaning enemies chased him down to harm him. And he was struck down, meaning he was knocked down on every turn. But notice what Paul also says. Even though he was afflicted with pressures, he was not crushed by them. Even though he was perplexed, he was not driven to desperation. Even though he was persecuted, he knew that God was still there. He was not forsaken. And even though he was struck down and knocked down, he was not destroyed or knocked out. Why was Paul not crushed or destroyed? Paul had one answer for that. It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was because Jesus Christ lived that he lived. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is behind all of Paul's thinking here. It often seemed that Paul was fighting a losing battle, but in his weakness, he finds strength from God, even as people tried to destroy him in the work of the gospel. Listen to Romans 8, verses 36 to 39. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We listened to a beautiful testimony this morning from a guy who is a jar of clay and realizes that more each day. Yet he rejoices in a Lord and Savior that continues to not forsake him, but rather to renew him inwardly day by day. It's a wonderful transformation. I've been with him through this, and it's been an amazing thing to see what God has done in his life. We'll get to this more later. But the trials we face on earth are nothing compared to the triumph of heaven. And Donnie recognizes that profoundly. ALS cannot separate him from nor diminish his great hope and trust in God. So our second point from this passage is that God triumphs amid human weakness. God is triumphing in Don Howard's life. God is at work in us despite the struggles and hardship and pain. We have real wonderful treasure in these jars of clay. We know how the story ends. Pandemics, inflation, moral and sexual deviancy, bad foreign policy, none of these things can crush and destroy those who have set their hope in Christ. We may carry the death of Jesus, but we have the resurrection life of Jesus. That is the good news of the gospel. Paul continues this train of thought in verses 11 and 12. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Paul says he and his partners are dying. He says they are always dying. Life is tough on the mission field. They are suffering for the sake of Jesus, but they have an end game as Jesus is manifested in their lives and work. As we die to self, we live in Christ. The life of Jesus is portrayed in our ministry to others, only because we have partaken in the life of Jesus. The apostles being given over to death is resulting in many coming to eternal life. They suffer for Jesus' sake so that the power of the resurrection life of Jesus might be made known in the weakness of their mortal flesh. Paul's not bragging on himself here. He's bragging on God. God gets all the glory. Paul is able to endure adversity as the gospel is spread powerfully. The point here is that death can bring life. Because Jesus died and rose again, Paul has attained to eternal life. Paul points out that because he and his cohorts are continually exposed to death for the gospel, many in Corinth and many other places are being renewed in new life, receiving life. In other words, Paul says, we are dying that you may live by our death. We ventured out for Christ's sake so that you might find life. Don't you just love to see how God can bring good out of bad? Way back in Genesis in the Old Testament, Joseph's brothers betrayed him. But Joseph was later able to realize that they meant it to him for bad, but God meant it to him for good and for the saving of many lives. Paul continues in verses 13 to 15. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Paul says that we all have the same spirit of faith, an attitude of trusting God no matter what comes, because we anticipate God's grace being extended to more and more people to the glory of God. Paul is dead to the things of this world because he is joined to the living Christ. I pray that is true of us as well. Verse 13 is a reference back to Psalm 116 where King David wrote, I walked before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed and so I spoke. Well, Paul did the same thing, so that we can also say and do the same thing. May that be true of us as it was of Paul and the apostles. We believe and then speak so that thanksgiving may be multiplied to God's glory. You see, many see death as an end, but that is not Paul's viewpoint. There's more that comes after death. As Christ was raised, we also, with the spirit of faith, will be raised and brought into the presence of God. We don't want to lose heart as we continue on in these jars of clay. There's so much to be done, regardless of our physical condition. There's much inner transformation God intends to happen in each of us. We're going to conclude with verses 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. As we grow older, the body begins to decay and wear out, yet we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could be 25 years old again and know then what I know now. What a difference that would make. Do any of you feel like you are wasting away? I know I do. I complain to my wife all the time about the arthritis in my back and my neck, about my fake knee aching, about my hearing aids. And my hair color even tells a story. But friends, in contrast to that, as the body withers, the soul grows. The years that take away physical beauty can also add spiritual beauty. Brad spoke last week about how gospel transformation empowers perseverance in serving Christ. Here, Paul is reiterating that inner transformation is being manifested in those who trust Jesus. Our next point this morning is that we can trust God amid adversity. Jesus was a suffering servant. Paul was a suffering servant. All God's people are by nature to be suffering servants. And Paul is challenging the Corinthians and us to also learn to trust God even in the midst of adversity. I so enjoyed hearing the testimony last Sunday of Ken Odhiambo in the adult Sunday school of how God took a young man in the slum of Kibera, Kenya, and raised him to eternal life through the witness of a friend, and now is using Ken and his family for God's glory in that same slum. Our final point this morning is this: God will renew despite our afflictions. We will have afflictions, but there are three contrasts given between the affliction we suffer here and the renewal that will happen. While the outer self is weakening, we must keep these three contrasts in mind. If I was Paul and endured all the suffering and affliction that he encountered, I think I might have lost heart. But Paul and his contemporaries didn't, because of these three contrasting truths. First of all, our affliction is temporary. Paul says it's momentary when you compare it to its counterpart. Our renewal is eternal. Therefore, we need not lose heart. Our present afflictions do not have the last say. Why? Because they are transient. They are here and then gone. Because eternal glory awaits that is beyond comparison. This life is but a mist that is here and gone. But we will be in the presence of God in glory forever and ever. That is an awesome deal. I don't know about you, but I could live in that hope. The second contrast is that in comparison, not only is the affliction short-lived, it's also light. It's not that big a deal compared to the eternal weight of glory in the presence of God. Heaven is a heavy thing. You've seen the Grand Canyon and the Eiffel Tower. Amazing. You've seen your child be born. Pretty awesome. You've seen stars and the moon through your telescope. That's pretty spectacular. But they can't compare to heaven and the eternal heavy presence of God. That brings us to the third contrast, which is that what can be seen and what is unseen. These are transient things that we see, but there are unseen things that are so glorious that we will be enthralled for eternity. We must take our eyes off of the seen affliction and look to the glory that is ahead. The contrast between Paul's life of suffering, his outer self in this present evil age, and his inner self, the internal spiritual transformation into the image of God as seen in Christ, is the same for each of us. We need to have that same attitude. It's the same faith spoken of in Hebrews 11. Listen to Hebrews 11, 27 concerning Moses. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We too can endure light and momentary affliction as we look to him who is invisible. Moses lived in an evil age, as did Paul. In case you haven't noticed, we also live in an evil age. But the challenge this morning is this: don't you dare lose heart. For we can be renewed day by day by day. The suffering here on earth will be forgotten in the glory of heaven. We must keep our eyes fixed on the unseen, not on the things that are seen but will fade away. We must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Neighborhood Church, as I look across this congregation at you all, you know what I see? I see hidden treasure. Frankly, some of you don't look so great on the outside, but I know what God is doing in and through many of you because of the hidden treasure that is on the inside. Please be encouraged. This church family, this body of believers is a gold mine. It's full of hidden treasure. Some have had troubles on the outside. Many of you know George and Vi Rainsbarger. They lost everything in a fire in Paradise a couple years ago. But they did not lose heart. Actually, they really did not lose everything. There's such an inner joy that exudes from both of them as God is renewing them day by day. There are so many other examples that I could give. You know, our limited potential accents God's all-prevailing power. We are but jars of clay. But look at what God can do in people like Dawn and Ken and George and Vi and you and me. God gets the glory through our transformation. This text assures us that we should expect to suffer in this world, but we don't have to lose heart. If we will focus on the glories to come, we can endure the present pain day by day. We can be renewed within. Friends, there will be trouble in this evil world, but please don't lose heart. You may be afflicted in every way, but you are not crushed. You may be perplexed, but you are not in despair. You may be persecuted, but you are not forsaken. God is there. You may be struck down, but you are not struck out. So please don't lose heart. There is victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.